Should we get to the five pack here?
Yes.
He keeps asking me to give him a high five.
All right, classic. High five.
Five beers.
Yeah, they were all out of six packs. Weird, huh?
Friday, five pack.
Top five, top five.
All right, the five pack is brought to you by Cool Beer Brewery. Looking for a refreshing, clean, light lager? Think Stonewall Light, offered in a clear bottle. Stonewall Light has nothing to hide. Visit coolbeer.com. How's that for a read?
That's a good read.
All right, we got Craig in here. What's happening,
Craig's,
Craig?
Joined us.
Not much. What's happening with you guys?
Well, we're just about to do our five pack. I'm glad you're in here. We're waiting for you anyway.
Oh, were you? Okay.
Just to do this because we want you to be a part of it. So the way it's going to work is we got five things that we've collectively come together on that have to improve in order for the Leafs to win tomorrow night.
Oh, okay.
So we'll throw one out individually. We'll go around the table. You throw your 2 cents on it. Let's begin with Mike Babcock. I didn't think he had a good night last night. I thought Bruce Cassidy outcoached him. We know what happened late in the second period when the fourth line was out against the first line. They had a too many men on the ice penalty late in the third. What does he have to do tomorrow night?
I think he's got to get a feel for the way the first period goes. Only once in my career have I looked back and said, maybe you need to get us away from this because it's not really working out. And you never really want to say that because you might be caving into a situation. But if things just aren't completely going their way again in the first period, there's got to be some type of adjustment made. Either, like I said earlier in the show, the Boston Bruins' top line is their three best players. So just get the three best players that night and put them on the same line, whether it's Matthews, whether it's Marner. I don't know. Just the right adjustments to take place. Try to find something that works. And what that is, I don't know, but
I'll jump off that before Craig chimes in. In-game adjustments are huge, and reading how the lay of the land. So early on, you could see him yelling to his bench the first 4 minutes, like, "Okay, boys, like breathe, relax," and that you could tell. It's early on, but you have to know who's going. You also have to know, like, in certain situations, you're on the road, so you're not going to get the matchup that you want. So it's understanding who's going to make sure that if there happens to be, for example, a face-off in your own zone with a minute left, two capable people out there to either win a draw or tie up a draw so you can have support. Like, it's the in-game adjustments for me that I thought there were a couple times where they got caught and it cost them last night. And you got to be a lot quicker on those decisions. A lot easier in your own building.
Right. And that's not going to be the case tomorrow night.
Right.
I would say this is a two-part answer. A lot of what happens tomorrow night is going to be predicated on what adjustments he makes today and going into that game. Because if you start out like they did last night, tomorrow night, it's going to be just much of the same. And,
right.
You know, and then the second thing is Mike Babcock can be a lot better if he has some players that are at his disposal that play a lot better. And, yeah. I mean, he had to look up and down that bench and go,
"I can't find three guys."
He couldn't. There was no way.
They didn't play well enough. I mean, 90% on the players or whatever, 95% on the players. There's no disputing that. But
and the third goal was a biggie. I mean, Cassidy jumped him big time.
You cannot have that line on the ice.
Yeah,
came out today, Craig, and he said, "You know, that's their job to win the draw. That's not their job."
Well, it's a massive mismatch.
Jeff, it's someone who's got more skin in the game. Everyone's got to have skin in the game, but it's just...
Jeff, you played, and you know, and you played lots of different situations. When you're in a defensive zone face-off, what's the one thing you want to make sure of that you have covered off? In case you lose the face-off, right? Isn't that what you always talk about?
All I know is the Carolina Hurricanes were down 3-1 in a game. We came back. I went out for an offensive zone face-off in overtime against the Montreal Canadiens, and guess who came out to take the face-off against me? Bill Lindsay. I was looking at him, I'm like, Koivu's on the bench? Yeah. Other guys are, and you sent out Bill Lindsay? I cleaned his ass on the draw, and it went back to Nick Wallin and in their net. I'm thinking, what was their coach thinking? Yeah. I don't even think Billy Lindsay was a centerman.
No, he was a winger.
Yeah.
He was mostly a winger, yeah.
Smooth.
So there you go, right? And I mean, Bergeron's eyes had to be just like, he would let right out.
Right, absolutely, and they should. I mean, that line, we'll get to that line in just a moment. Morgan Rielly, we've talked about him a lot today. Craig, we'll let you begin. I don't think it helps that Ron Hainsey has kind of hit a wall down the stretch, and he's out there with Ron Hainsey constantly. But you look at his analytics last night, Noodles, you said he was like a 9%.
Apparently his possession
was 9%. Like, that's shots for, shots against. If you're not familiar, that metric is, that's outrageously awful. I mean, you can't have that. He's their number one guy.
Yeah.
You get into the playoffs, you know, you want to really try to get a team's spirit broken, number one. And number two, how do you do that? Just keep reducing the roster. Keep reducing their roster. You're not going to push Morgan Riley out of a game. What you try to do is just push Zaitsev out. Push Polak out.
Yeah.
Make Hainsey play whatever and push him out. And so now, now Morgan Riley's sitting there and you're going, okay, now what? Mm-hmm. And that's what you try to do. You just try to take the what I like to call the quiet players, those players that, you know, that don't let them play without the band. Take them out, and then they're going, what's happening here? Why are they after me? Like, why are they taking me out?
Yeah.
Because you're number one. We're going to the next domino. And by the time you get to game 3 and 4, hopefully there's only about 12 players left playing that are meaningful.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Riley, he's a guy. He's on the first power play. He doesn't generally kill penalties. I wonder if they're going to have to use him killing penalties.
Good point, Brian.
You know, with considering what's going on with Hainsey. And
that would be an adjustment. That would be one of the adjustments you guys are talking about.
Yeah. Like, they had Dermott killing penalties last night. I don't think he's ever killed penalties in the NHL.
Now, I thought Dermott was one of their best defensemen last night. He just was, and he didn't do a whole lot. It was just simple. Yeah. It was aggressive.
That's the unfortunate part. But I think they also have to, for lack of better words, not overcoach too. Like, you got to realize the team stunk from top to bottom.
Yeah. It's the same game you played when you're in Pee Wee.
Give them an opportunity to bounce back too. So you can't take this to move this to here. Like, you have your adjustments, but that's why I think you come back with what you believe will be comfortable. You're going to be minus Kadri, and then you allow them an opportunity for retribution. And if Matthews is going, and that's when you start to have the in-game adjustments. But I don't think you start an overhaul of this, an overhaul of that on one game.
Well, how does that apply to our next point here, the penalty kill, which they gave up 3 on the PK last night?
Well,
I mean, all year it was Hainsey and Zaitsev, maybe Hainsey and Polak.
But you have to understand, and Craig and you can weigh in as well too, it's like, look at what Boston did the minute that Mitch Marner got the puck. They had a plan in place, and it worked out for them last night. They said, you know what, Rask, that's yours. That's Mitch Marner. You go. Good luck against Tuukka Rask. We'll take our chances because we're not going to allow you to look anybody off and hit backdoor options. So they just shrunk the middle of the ice and said, we'll leave him out there. So that's the adjustments again on the power play for the Boston Bruins. You're looking at what they're trying to achieve, and then you try and pinch off areas where their strengths are, mm-hmm. whether it's Pasternak
on
the wall.
But you knew what those were coming into the game last night.
You did, but they couldn't execute. But again, if you get a better effort from Ron Hainsey, then maybe they execute. You have to, in my opinion, give them an opportunity to play better, too.
Well, Hainsey's still killing penalties. I mean, I'm not saying that they're going to take him off the PK. That's not going to happen, but I mean, is there a way that
I think there is. I think they got to change their power play. I'm not or their penalty kill, not in a significant way.
Mm-hmm.
The Leafs, and there's a lot of different ways to be right. There's a lot of different ways to win. They want to pressure you, and they want to pressure you quickly. The Boston Bruins are an exceptionally smart team and skilled. And so now when you pressure and you don't break them down, now they're taking advantage behind you at your net and everything. I think they got to be a little bit more patient. And because the Boston power play is different than other power plays.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I would say. The first thing I would do is get them a little bit more patient. Pressure when you think you can do it. Because, and the other thing, Boston is exceptional at retrieving pucks. You know, again, so not only do they retrieve pucks, but they're smart. And now when you're chasing and pressuring them, they find that open ice because they get up. I would say be a little bit more patient. There was a time, I think it was in the second period, where Mike Babcock, I think, was telling Jimmy Hiller or DJ, I forget who it was, DJ Smith, he was trying to move. I think he was trying to say, get the group of four to move together. Don't have one guy chasing where the other guy's rotating. That was what I was taking from it.
If it gets to a point where Boston plays the way they did last night and the pressure's on Freddie Anderson to steal a game, how comfortable are we that he's got that in him, considering the way he's played recently? I mean, this time last year, he did that in D.C.
Yeah, and he has
played great against Washington.
I think my comment would be, it could happen, as opposed to saying, I count on it happening.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think there's a big difference.
Yeah, there is a big difference.
Yeah, well put, Jeff. I think that's a really good, you know, you don't want to put them in that spot, right?
Right.
Well, exactly. Ideally, yeah, you can't give up 40. That situation.
Yeah, you can't give up another 40
shots. But when Freddie was cooking, like, the middle part of the season, and maybe he, you know, McElhaney came in for a game, and I think we'd all be quite confident to say, if we need Freddie to steal this one, or the Leafs need Freddie to steal this one, I'm comfortable with
that. Absolutely. That's what he was doing.
And right now, I would say, I hope he can do that, as opposed to saying I'm comfortable he will do
that. You're right. And Hayes, you come back to if he needs to. If he needs to steal a game, I think they're in trouble.
Yeah.
Personally.
They are.
From their game plan standpoint. Like, if they give up another 40 shots and look disjointed, then it is going to have to be Freddie that steals it.
But over the course of a series, each goalie is going to have to steal it.
If they join up tomorrow night, would you consider it a great white?
I'm not saying it.
Okay.
I'm not saying it anymore. I'm going to get in trouble. I know it.
Yeah.
Listen, you're right. I mean, obviously, if it's like it was last night and you're relying on them winning 1-0, that's clearly not a recipe for success long term. No. But, Noodles, you've said this before. Over the course of a 7-game series, each goalie is going to have to steal at least a game.
Absolutely. And Freddie has to be better tomorrow night, like the rest of his teammates. And I'm confident in saying I believe he can do it. Mm-hmm. He's a good goaltender. Mm-hmm. He's battle-tested in the playoffs. But the thing is, you're looking down at the other end. So is the other guy. In 2013, Rask took his team to the finals. He's won 5 playoff rounds. Anderson's won 3 playoff rounds. Like, they both are there. If you dig deeper into the numbers, Rask's save percentage is higher as far as playing more games and a little bit more experience. But either the Leafs are going to have to get to Rask, and Anderson's going to have to be better.
Right, but again, based on this logic that each guy's going to steal a game, Rask didn't steal that last night. So if you're banking on him having a great game at some point over the next 3 or 4,
there's
another game in the hands of the Bruins. Top line on top line, you know, this is the luxury of having a guy like Bergeron and Marchand and Pastrnak. They can score with the best of them in the league, and they can check. And that's what they did last night. They completely neutralized Matthews and Nylander. And that's going to be the game plan.
The game got out of hand, and they didn't even care about that Bergeron matchup anymore. They were just like, Achari, go ahead.
Well, what do you expect tomorrow night, Craig? I mean, the same matchup, but what is Matthews and Komarov, if that's what it is, and Nylander have
to do? We talked a little bit about it today on Leafs Lunch, and I think the biggest thing is I go back to 2013. I'm going to go back to 2013. Game one, the Bruins schooled the Leafs. It was ugly. We thought that the Bruins were going to win the 4 games and 3 games. That's how bad and ugly it was, right? We're talking about Kessel and how bad they were. And Kessel, at some point in time, and that time has to come immediately, Nylander and Matthews and them say, okay, if we're up against Chara, we're up against it, we got to be better. Mm-hmm. What did Daryl Sutter always used to say?
Yeah.
Okay.
Pick the guy. Yeah, you okay. Go.
And like, at the very worst, you better be even with them. Okay. I need you to be better. I want you to be better. But at the very worst, you better be even. Mm-hmm. If you're worse than them, we got a big problem.
What
the Leafs had last night was just about every one of their players. And I could probably say, other than Freddie Anderson, and I just put him aside, and Zach Hyman, that leaves 17 skaters that were worse than the Boston Bruins, 17, 18 guys.
That's how you lose 5-1.
That's not good.
No, that's a problem.
No, that's what the result was. It showed it.
It did, right? But so, really, and remember Kessel came back. We were all worried about, Kessel came back and it went to 7, and they just said, we're going to play. Okay, you want to knock? We're going to play. We're going to skate. And I think that's a big part for those guys. It comes right with their initiative.
Winnipeg, game 2 tonight. If they win, is that it for you guys? I mean, I think we all had Winnipeg winning the series anyway, but does Minnesota have to win tonight? Or?
Well, I mean, if you don't win tonight, now you got to win 4 of the next 5.
I guess that's 40-20 last game, too. Yeah. Like, Dubnyk was the only reason.
3-2 was being nice.
You know what scared me?
Similar to the Leafs. If they get dummied again, it'll be maybe steal one at home. It's a tough place to play in Minnesota, but they'll go back to Winnipeg and get dummied.
But, boy, they're like,
I continue to say that, like, the Jets, they're good.
Yeah, they're
like legit.
And with Suter out, they were rolling Dumba.
Exactly. Like, Dumba's no a good player.
And he's
like,
a good player, but it's not the same.
But you got Dumba and Brodin, and Spurgeon's healthy, but not ready to play that game now. He's been out for too long. And then you got three young kids. Good luck. Yeah. And that, and then they scored to make it 2-1. Minnesota did, right? And then they went 11 minutes till their next shot, and that was their last shot with 5 minutes left. I mean, the Winnipeg Jets took it to another level, and it was frightening. Jeff, you saw them play a couple weeks ago in Toronto, and you said, whoa.
They're legit, man. Oh, they have been all year.
Good.
Yeah, they're a really good team. Quickly, what do you think the mood is like in Washington after they lose to Columbus? Just based on their history and...
Well, wouldn't it be status quo?
Basically, we're used to it. They do this anyway.
Yeah, they can do the rah-rah speeches. Come on, guys, let's not let this happen, but... It's close to 10 years of this garbage.
It's one of those things that you go, it's not just that they lost, it's how they lost.
Right.
You know, they're up 2-0, and then they're up 3-2, and then Panarin's the difference maker. And
I didn't two like times Jones. In a row, he passed it to Seth Jones, and then he ripped it home.
I didn't like Jones's goal. Grubauer's got to make that save. That's a short side shot. Now, Seth Jones is a good player, and it was a really nice play through the seam, but like... Grubauer is playing ahead of an elite goaltender. Yeah, Holtby hasn't had a great season. You better deliver. You got to deliver that save.
Like, well, to me, he was deep in his net and he was on his knees. I don't know how the hell is he supposed to make the save.
The game-winning goal was ridiculous. Like, that's just
you got to give him props and save.
And thing is, congrats. Is Grubauer's playing ahead of Holtby. You've got to continue to earn that. And I didn't like his game last night, personally. And I'm not laying it all at his feet, but in watching that and going back and watching a bunch of it today, Washington was fine. They need a save at the right time. They were up 3-2.
Right.
And you need that save on Seth Jones.
Well, we'll see. It's going to be a fun weekend. Good seeing you, buddy.
Yeah, it'll be a fun weekend, won't it? I mean, and everybody's waiting to I mean, I think there's a lot. I mean, tonight with Elliott going back in the net for Philadelphia, I mean, oh boy.
Well, yeah, that's a shortish leash you could see. Like, I think that's a 2-inch leash.
Remember last year with Calgary in game 4? And there was listening to Dave Haxtell talk and Brian Elliott talk, go get the clips from last year before game 4. It's the exact same thing. And that goal went in, and...
That was
Glenn Gullison looked right down the bench and said, "You're in. You're out of here."
That was so early, too.
Yeah. Just over 5 minutes left.
Five minutes in.
It was gone.
Probably the right move.
Yeah.
All right,
okay.
Craig,
have a good weekend.
Thanks, buddy. Yeah. There's Craig Button.